interest in your prayers for the time. We'll stand before you this morning. Got a particular thought on our mind. I guess I'll just hook up from Wednesday night. I've been rattling that thing around with me. You know, I teach, I'm a PE teacher, spent a lot of time in the weight room, and this year they've had me in the earth and space. And you kind of have to teach a curriculum that you have. Of course, now, I can alter that curriculum to an extent to what I need to, but one of the things that is interesting to me is that one of the first things they start off with is a theory of the Big Bang. And this theory, I'm going to give you this. This is not science class, but it's just amazing to see God, okay? Do you know what they proposed that the first thing that appeared was, based on scientific evidence, was light? I thought, wow, that's amazing. In the beginning, God, you know one thing he said, let there be light. There's three things that are needed: time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time. God created the heavens, space, and the earth. Matter. It's amazing when you look at from a, you know, the Bible says a fool, in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. What's amazing to me is as you see time after time, the handiwork of God. David told us about this long before we invented a Hubble telescope to look out into the outest reaches of the vastness and emptiness of space. And what's amazing is they proposed that because this thing blew up like this, that there was coming a day that it was going to collapse back on itself and go into a black hole and there'd be nothing. I'm thankful I've got better news than that. Always going to be some melting with a fervent heat, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to fold her up like a vesture. But what they have found is there's certain stars that transmit, and the reason you see light is because of the frequency of the light, but moving, we don't want to get too deep into that rabbit hole. But the fact of the matter is there are certain stars out there that when they appear, and see, there's still stars appearing. That's why you can't number the stars. There's still stars that are showing up. And as these stars show up, what they're trying to determine is based on the brightness of the light and the strength of the frequency that they're seeing, how far that thing is. And they were setting out to determine, I know y'all doing like the kids, don't go to sleep on me. Just bear with me. I'm getting to it. Just hang with me just a minute. They're trying to figure out, is the universe slowing down or speeding up? Because their idea is it's going to expand and it's going to collapse back down on itself. So if we see it start coming back down, we know the end is near. Well, I can tell you we know the end is near because we're one day closer today than we were yesterday. But the fact of the matter is what they found is it's speeding up. It's amazing. They look at those stars out there as far as they can see, and they're going faster and faster away from us in all directions. That's interesting. Now let's go to God's Word. In Psalms 19, David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." See, thou art inexcusable, O man. Even creation itself declares and glorifies God when you look at it. You would have to be, as the Bible says, a fool to examine creation and come up with the conclusion that there is no God. I've cleaned an awful lot of animals in my life. You know, my dad's made a bunch of cabinets around. He's built different things. And when I look at it, I can pretty much tell, yeah, I bet he built that. You know why? I know his handiwork. I know what it looks like. I know how he does things. I know how meticulous he is when he cuts those 45s. They got to be right. You can look at stuff like that and you can tell who made something, can't you? I've cleaned rabbits, squirrels, beavers, geese, ducks. You know the most amazing thing? Chickens, turkeys. Same pattern. I see the same pattern just over and over and over again. You know what it declares? The handiwork of the same guy that made all of them. That's what it shows. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Only thing broke about it is what we've done to it in our transgression. But he says here that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All right. So the vastness of all that space is, and all of those galaxies out there. And by the way, when you look up in the night sky and it's really clear, and the other night, man, I'm telling you, it was gorgeous Friday night. It was cold, but we were driving in. I let the sunroof back, and I looked up at the stars, and it was a cold, clear night, and we was in the middle of the woods somewhere between Tuscaloosa and here. And the beauty of the night sky was absolutely amazing. And all those little clusters of lights that we see in the galaxy, in the Milky Way up there, I mean, that is amazing how beautiful that is. And that's just the handiwork. That's just the fingerwork. That's the, oh yeah, and he made the stars also. That's just an afterthought in the scripture of the star. Oh yeah, and he made the stars also. No big deal. Yes, a big deal. They're amazing. They're glorious. And they declare his handiwork. They declare his glory. So David goes on here and says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I don't care where you are on the face of this planet. You have got to come to a conclusion by examining the beauty and the complexity of God's creation that God in the beginning said, let there be. You've got to come to that. And that's the point he's making here, is there no one is with. So this idea, let me just cover this while we're there. This idea that, oh, well, think about this for a moment. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I just want you to understand a logical position. I was talking to a man one time. You know, when you have problems with your theology and your doctrine, you have to create buckets, okay? So I was talking to this man one time, and he said that we have to really get this gospel out there so that somebody can hear the gospel and believe in God. Well, David said that the very creation itself, man's without excuse because it declares the glory of God. So if we hold this, well, I've got to get the gospel to them. I said, well, what if they don't believe the gospel? Well, they're going to hell. I said, man, you'd be better served by not saying anything. Follow me, right? See, because if they didn't know, then they were saved by ignorance. I got news for you, brethren. I don't need a bucket for ignorance. I don't need a bucket for mentally incapable. I don't need a bucket for not old enough. I don't need a bucket for anything else, because I'm going to tell you, God provided one bucket, brethren. And it's Jesus Christ. And there's no holes in it. It's not a cistern that runs out. It is absolutely secure. Matter of fact, it's so secure that I can rest easy at night knowing that every single one that he died for is going to be with him in glory. You know why? Because I believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, here's why I'm here. I don't care who you are. You can be Hindu, Buddhism, Shintoism, it don't matter whatever ism or ite you want to be a part of. 2,000 something years ago, something amazing happened on the face of this planet. The Son of God was born, and we mark time by it. I don't care where you are on the face of the globe, we mark time by the greatest event, the greatest news, the greatest thing that's ever happened on the face of this planet, and I'm going to tell you that the very creation itself declares and gives God glory. You'd have to be a fool not to see that according to the Bible. Don't get mad at me. According to the Bible, you'd have to be a fool to not see that. He says, this glory has gone out, and every language, every tongue, nobody can deny this glory of God's creation, because it gives him all the honor, all the glory and all the praise. And that's why we was created on the sixth day, because if we'd have been created before anything else, we'd have thought we had something to do with that also. Man thinks an awful lot of himself. But we're going to see some things in perspective. Day unto day utter his speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech in their language where their voice is not heard. God's creation declares his glory, and it doesn't matter what you speak. If you can speak, if you can't speak, it declares it. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This man's going to be the winner. That's why strength and condition is so important. The strong man wins. That's the way it works. If you're going to ruin a strong man's house, you've got to be stronger than the strong man. And I got news for you, brother. He said, I and my Father are one. And then he says, there's none, no man, not even the devil can pluck them from my Father's. I got news for you, brethren. There's none stronger than our strong man. He's going to win the race. Matter of fact, he declares that he has run the race. Even as an inspired word, when he speaks of you as glorified, past tense, he is declaring unto you that he was successful in his work. You know why? Because when he looks upon you, you're glorified, past tense. Why? Because he's covered you in his blood and he's imputed unto you the righteousness of his Son. Yet this morning, y'all all looked in the mirror like I did, and you know you're not glorified yet. We all got this old stinking flesh we drag around with us every day. This old sinful desire, the old flesh and all the frailties thereof. As Brother Joe this morning, I'm telling you, yep, I had to buy some of them little readers. Went to the eye doctor. They said, oh, you got 20/20. I said, well, why can't I read what's on the back of a pill bottle? Oh, you probably need magnifiers. Well, what good is 20/20 if you can't read? I don't understand that. Oh, you just need to get them looked. So I got me some $2 magnifiers, and I towed them in my pocket when I get ready to read something. I'm glad this text is big and this one I can see it. But anyway, have to get them. You know what happens? The flesh shows you the frailty of it, and then it begins to break down. But in him, we're renewed day by day. In him, we're perfect forevermore. We're glorified, justified. We're purified, brethren, made whiter than snow. And that declares the finished work of Christ unto us. The law of the Lord. Let me back up. This bridegroom, he's a strong man. All right, now, verse 6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Look, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it. Let me tell you something. God's so big, and every time we try to put God in a little bitty box. I don't know why we try to put God in a little bitty box. God is ginormous. As vast as space is, it says that he's from end to end in the circuit there of it. That's amazing. You know who he is? I am. That's who he is. You can't ever say that. You can say, man, I was. I bet me and Mo get together this afternoon and talk about what we used to be. I was. I used to. I could have. When you're a kid, you're thinking, I will. When you become a little older, you remember what I was. But God said, I am. That's where we need to learn to live, though, is an I am. We need to live in the present. But so many times we spend our time looking back or looking forward and not living right now. Not seeing the blessings of right now. Taking them for granted. I'm going to tell you, yes, I'll agree with the statements made this morning. If a brother has submitted himself to the call to preach, I can tell you, he probably done so reluctantly. I know I did. I didn't really want to have any part of it. I tried to run as hard as I could. And we all have our Jonah experiences, our well experiences. But if a fellow wanted to do this, and he brought it on himself, then you ought not have him. Because for a man to have the capacity or the ability to stand before such a great people as God's people, he has to be a man called by God. It's the only way he'll truly submit and be beneficial to the kingdom of God. So that is a testimony. A lot of people get real discouraged when they look around. I got news for you. God's not calling these men out of all walks of life to preach to empty pews, folks. There's a reason God calls His ministers, because it's a gift unto His children. It's for the perfecting of the saints. And if ministers are going to do that work, Brother James, the saints got to be there. It's just the way it is. No other way of getting around that. And you know what? That's a testimony that God still loves you. Because He's still raising up ministers. And as poor and frail as we are, we try to in some way glorify God. Bring our thoughts and bring our minds under subjection. Because there's some things we need to protect. We need to protect our minds and we need to protect our hearts. There's two things we need to guard with every fiber of our being. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. I'm going to tell you, I need converting all the time. I'm continually in need of conversion. Let me tell you, there's words that get used, and they're big words, and a lot of times, I didn't realize some of the words I use are big words, but clearly, you know, a word like precipitation can be a big word. Imagine that. Anyway. Conversion. Conversion and regeneration. A lot of times, us preachers, we'll use the word conversion, regeneration, and we'll just throw that out there. A lot of times when you read old writers, they would interchange the words. Some old writers would interchange conversion with regeneration, and somebody reads that today and they're like, I'm going to tell you, the language changes and people use things differently. Here's what the Bible teaches us about regeneration. All right? Regeneration, Jesus Christ explains there in John, in the third chapter to Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. Then he goes on, in case you missed what that means, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, not knowing whence it cometh or whither it goeth. In other words, it's a surprise. You don't know when the breeze is going to hit, but you can feel it, right? He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, not knowing whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. John 5:25, he tells us this. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. That's regeneration. Because you skip on down, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming out yonder at some point in time when they that are in the graves, and that is the resurrection. That's the resurrection of this body. You see, those bodies that are laid in that tomb are going to come forth out of the tomb. It's 2022. I had to think about that a minute. And I was talking with a lady, and I felt like I was reading something that took place in the first century. Because I said something about the resurrection of the body. She said, I've never heard there be such a thing take place. This lady went to church. I mean, but she was the church member. And she said, you talking about a resurrection of the body? I ain't never heard of that. I said, what are you going to church at? You ain't heard the bodies are going to be resurrected. You not heard that you're purchased possession, body, soul, and spirit, and that God's going to bring that body out, and it's going to be changed like into His glorious image. You never heard that? I've never heard that. My Lord, what are they preaching? Resurrection, that's not a complicated term, but apparently in 2022, people don't even know that there is such a thing of the resurrection of the body. Crazy. Blows my mind. John 5:25 is regeneration. This is the work that Jesus Christ does. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Listen, you can mimic a lot of things, but you can't be the voice of God. I can tell you what He said. I can tell you what Jesus taught. I can tell you about Him, but I can't speak life into your heart. There's only one that can do that, and that's Jesus. His voice. That's regeneration. Here's conversion. Now, if you want to know the difference, here's, take the biblical stance. Okay, don't take any other dictionary. Just let the Bible interpret the Bible. Peter, I prayed for you, brother. This is the Lord talking to me. I prayed for you, brother. The Lord desires to sift thee as wheat. This same one, he said, "You going, before the cock crows, you going to deny me." You know what the Lord said? He said, I prayed for you. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I got news for you, folks. If the Lord's praying for somebody, it's because they're his son. They're his child. And he said that this born again, regenerated child of God was going to experience something, and the Lord called it conversion. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know what that means? Move from error to truth. That's what conversion is. Maybe move from fearfulness to boldness. Maybe go from being a little dim light to a big bright light like you're supposed to be. Because Peter was kind of ashamed, right? Kind of conflicted. Paul said, "I was stood him to the face." Ooh, that's bad. Brother Paul had to withstand him to the face. You know why? He was a little fearful of the... He was a respecter of men. He let men get in the way. But the Lord taught him a lesson that whatsoever God hath cleansed, you don't call that common or unclean, Peter. And Peter understood exactly what God was talking about. You know what he's talking about? Us poor old Gentiles. It's amazing, isn't it? He's talking about us old Gentiles. He was telling Peter, "I got a people of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe." And Peter understood. You know what? Peter was converted from a lack of knowledge to understanding, from ignorance to knowledge. Same thing Paul was praying for some Jews, right? He wasn't praying for them to be born again when he says, "My hope and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." He's not praying for them to be born again. That's like after my child was born, after the baby was born, I didn't pray, "Oh Lord, please let him be born." I mean, he's already born. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? Wouldn't make good sense to pray for something to happen that's already happened. He said, "My prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." Look at what he says. "For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You know what we need, brethren? We need God's word preached to us. You know why? It'll convert the soul. It'll move you from ignorance to knowledge so that you might have understanding, so that you might not be fearful, so that you might be able to say, "Who shall I fear? What is man going to do? I'm going to fear the Most High God." You know why? He's amazing. Let me run through this real quick. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm telling you, making wise the simple. I just take it for what it says. It's amazing how that works. Making wise the simple. It's amazing how you can start to understand things from the view of the Bible. You want to understand stuff out there? Take it from the view of the Bible to understand that stuff out there. Don't take that stuff out there and make the Bible agree with that stuff out there. That's the problem that most people have. That's opposition of truth, which Paul told Timothy to avoid. You know what science is? Oppositions of science. That's what he actually used the word science. Avoid oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That's truth. That's what science is, a search for truth. But what do you say? God is truth. Right? Look at his word and let that be the lens that we look at everything else. The statutes of the Lord are right. There's truth. Hey, it's right. It's the right thing. It's right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'm telling you, we all need enlightenment. I need enlightenment when I read God. That means understanding. That means conversion. I'm telling you, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to understand a little more about... I'll never forget one time, Brother R.J. Wade, you know what he's doing? You're talking about getting dim. His old eyes had got so dim that he had to sit in the back room when the sun shined through a light, a window back there. He had to sit back there with a magnifying glass over his Bible with the direct sunlight coming through the window so he could read his Bible. I remember helping him walk up the stand right there, and his Bible was on his walker. I said, "Brother RJ, do you need this?" He said, I believe I'll be all right, son. I believe he'd read it a few times. But what's funny is you go over to visit Brother RJ, and he was back here reading. Brother Randy said something to him one day. He said, we went over to see him when he was there in Baker, and he said, "Brother RJ, you don't give a fellow like me much hope." He said, "What do you say that for?" He said, "I thought there'd come a point in time you'd have it all figured out." And Brother RJ, he said, "Oh, we're getting close." He said, "I'm getting close." He said, "I'm just not there yet." You know when he was talking about? When we're known as we're known. There's coming a day we'll understand it, but until that day, we should strive to understand the glory that God has placed here that declares His glory. This beautiful creation. So he goes on. Statute of the Lord, right? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Listen, folks, what's important? You don't go where the money is. You go where the truth is. Don't forsake this that glorifies God, chasing that which fails in comparison. He puts things in perspective here. You might say, well, it's pretty easy for David to say that, you know, because he was loaded. No, this is still just as true today, no matter what you have or what you lack. Because he that's rich in the Lord is rich beyond measure. You've got something the world can't buy. You got something that's more precious than any element found in the vastness of this universe that our God expands beyond. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You believe that? I do. You know what the Lord said, first commandment promise, honor your mother and father. If you got some godly mamas and daddies that try to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I'm going to tell you when you hit your knees at night, you thank God for it. You know why? There's a deliverance for you in that. Because God said there was. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I remember old Brother Oscar praying, Lord, forgive us the sins of omission and commission. That's what he's talking about. Times when I should have done something and I didn't. My secret fault. Lord, forgive me for when I didn't even know it. He goes on to say it this way. Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words, now listen to this. This is my prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Man, I'm going to tell you. He's saying that everything out there declares the glory of God. In him is just and right. And it's more precious than anything on the face of this planet. So if there's something to be thinking on, brethren, think on these things. If there's any good thing, I'm going to tell you, think on those things. I got time. God bless you. Love you. Pray the Lord bless you. Bless you, Brother James.